Welcome to Pets Tell the Truth. I'm Dr. Agnes Thomas, psychologist and animal telepathic communicator. This program is dedicated to understanding our animal companions on a deeper level. I'll be your host as we listen to what our animal friends have to teach us about the way they view the world, their missions, and their incredible spiritual insights. I would like to thank Maureen McCullough and Mary Ellen Angel Scribe for filling in for me last Monday. I understand they had a wonderful guest, and it was a very entertaining show. The first half hour of the show tonight, my topic will be on how animals view death, dying, and the afterlife. It is a lot more heartwarming than you can imagine. So even though this is a sensitive subject, listen in, because they have a totally different view of life, death, and the afterlife than we know. The second part of the program is reserved for listeners who may want to call in their questions about the topic of today's show. Or perhaps someone has questions about their own pet. Please reserve your calls until the presentation part is finished. The toll-free number to call is 1-888-268-4313. That's 1-888-268-4313. Today's show is brought to you by Garnett Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. They published my book, Pets Tell the Truth, part of which you're going to hear tonight. And I found them very wonderful to work with. Garnett is calling for finished manuscripts, so if you have a manuscript that's dear to your heart that you'd like to share and see in print, contact them at www.garnettpublishing.com, or you can telephone them directly at area code 216-458-6100. Let's begin our talk tonight by talking about animals' souls. Do animals actually have souls? Many people ask me that. The answer is definitely yes. Not only have I learned animals have souls, but they are actually part of our own energy, part of our souls. All animals are here to help their persons with their spiritual journey. They can reincarnate and return to us. And they have been with us in every lifetime in one form or another. So my present animal companions, who are cats, have been with me in many forms in many lifetimes. They don't always have to be an animal. They could be my child. They could be my parent. They can be anyone in relation to you. But groups of souls are drawn to each other, and to each other's energy, and they usually incarnate together. Well, let's describe what a soul is, but it's very confusing to many people. And words are used interchangeably, like soul, spirit, heart, essence, but they all mean the same thing. It is the non-physical aspect of a being, which expresses itself as the attitude, the emotions, moral aspects, and the will of a being, which distinguishes the being as an entity distinct from physical form. So it's what you're made of. One of the best descriptions of a soul or spirit is contained in J. Allen Boone's book, Kinship with All Life, which was published in 1954. Boone was a movie producer who spent several months pet-sitting for an actor dog that was very famous, and his name was Strongheart. He was fascinated with Strongheart because he appeared to understand the scripts of the film being produced. At first, Boone related to Strongheart as man versus dog, and Strongheart communicated with him in a kind of a pantomime, so it was like body language. After a while, Boone became very attached to him, and he began to see Strongheart in a different light, as a fellow being. From that moment on, Boone began receiving communications from Strongheart, which he instantly recognized as thought transfer. Boone had many conversations with Strongheart and wrote several books about it. he began to receive communications also from other beings. He discovered that the same spiritual essence that he found in animals could also be found in every object, including plants, trees, rocks, mountains, and everything else in creation. He describes it like this, and this is probably the best description I've ever heard. If one took the time to look beyond the apparent features seen with their physical eyes, with an open mind and heart, one can also see, with inner vision, a spiritual fact just behind each object, which existed in its entire wholeness. This spiritual fact, or essence, extended beyond the boundaries of the object on every side and was in intimate contact with every other object in creation as well. So if you can imagine your cat or dog in front of you and their energy field or their aura reaching out in every direction in contact with the aura of your plants, of your children, of yourself, that is what it is like. One of the exercises that I present to my students who are taking my animal communication workshops is to talk to an animal and ask it questions with deep meaning. One question that we always ask is, will you show me what your soul looks like? And I must say that among 15 or so persons attending a workshop, and if they all ask a single animal like my Frosty, all 15 students will describe receiving an image of a white ball of light in answer to that question. It's pure white light. It doesn't hurt your eyes. It looks very much like the sun. Likewise, if there are 15 cats or dogs and each of the 15 students selects only one animal to ask, they will still get the same answer. It's a ball of white light. Yes, animals certainly do have souls. And it appears that all objects in the physical dimension do as well. So animals say that there's only one soul and everything is an expression of it. Animals tell me that many souls can be part of the same energy, that is, the same being. They explain that's how that they are able to reincarnate and come back and find their person again, again and again. Animals are part of our own soul. We humans have, and animals too, have attractor patterns that are patterns of attachment between beings. These are set up by one's karmic past and preferences. These attractions keep your pets and other loved ones returning to you in every lifetime in one form or another. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the process of attachment and loss. This is a psychological process. Ask anyone who has ever had a pet, and they will tell you that the loss of an animal, whether through death or other forms of separation, is one of the most painful events a being can experience. Because animals often are totally dependent upon their persons for their very survival, humans tend to feel completely responsible for everything that happens to them. If the pet is a person, sometimes will blame themselves for not being aware of the animal's stress and will look at things that they might have done wrong in their care. Feelings of guilt are often expressed in statements like, if I had taken them to the vet sooner, or I didn't pay enough attention when the dog was barking. He must have been trying to tell me he was in pain. I had that same experience this week with my cat, Frosty. He started to spot blood on the floor, and I took him to the vet immediately, and he had a bladder infection. But it scared me, and I asked Frosty, why didn't you tell me about this sooner? Because Frosty can talk to me. And he says, I didn't feel it until just now. But it was a pretty bad infection. And I can understand how people feel guilty, like, how can I be such a bad mother? Often a person may wish that he could somehow magically turn back the clock, be there moments before the fatal event, and alter the outcome. I've spoken to hundreds of animals in spirit form in the afterlife, perhaps thousands. Animals say that the universe doesn't make any mistakes, and everything is the way it should be. That means that their death is no exception. They leave the physical world at the exact moment they are supposed to and not one moment before. Animals say they send intuitive messages to their persons so that they don't So they always know if it is time for the animal to depart. So if your animal is going to die, it's been my experience that they will send you a message letting you know that, and you will, in your heart, whether you want to believe it or not, you'll know it. Animals don't leave the physical dimension until their mission is completed, even if it means that they will have to suffer for a time. For example, I had a cat whose name was Dusty, and he was very good friends with another cat named Peanut. And Peanut wasn't all that swift about spiritual matters, whereas Dusty was. And Peanut passed away. He had a problem with his bone marrow. He was only 8 years old, and he passed away and went to the spirit world. And when I talked to him, you know, I asked him if he wanted to be released from his body because he was very, very sick. And he said, sure. But he didn't realize that he had to die to do that. So Peanut was in the spirit world, and then 5 months later, he returned to me in a beautiful little female body. And during this time, Dusty had developed diabetes, and I asked him if he wanted to be put down or if he would rather get the insulin. And he said, no, I want the shots, and I want you to give them to me. I'm not finished with my mission. So I did, and gave him his shots for a year. And sure enough, Peanut came back. About 3 or 4 months after Peanut came back, Dusty passed away. And I said to him, you know, but what was your mission, Dusty? And he said that Peanut and I made a pact that he would go into the spirit world, and I would wait for him to return, and then I would go. So Dusty stayed. Even with his diabetes and his old age, he stayed long enough for Peanut to get adjusted to his new body and to feel comfortable back home. There is an exception that an animal does not complete their mission. In the event that an animal is put down or killed as an act of revenge of one being to another, for example, sometimes relationships break up with a lot of anger and resentment, and one party may seek to hurt the other by destroying that person's beloved pet. This has happened, in my experience, more than once. In this case, the animal has been deprived from completing its mission with his or her person. When contacted in spirit form, the animal will always express his sorrow and disappointment about what had occurred. I always ask the animal what happened upon the arrival in the afterlife. I'm going to tell you a short story. Buffy, for example, was a brown and white Jack Russell Terrier living with a couple whose relationship was failing. On the day that the divorce papers were delivered to the husband, his anger soared. He decided to punish his wife in the most horrible way he could imagine, and in his rage, he went home, took her dog to the vet to be euthanized. When Buffy died, he was carried into the afterlife in the arms of a white angel with wings. When he arrived, Buffy was very angry, and he showed me the angel talking to him about his feelings. He shared with me what the angel said to him, which was something like, "Don't harbor any resentment about the circumstances of your death, because it will keep new love from entering." Buffy said simply, "I spit it out." That's a typical answer for an animal. They just say something very briefly and right to the point. Buffy was given what he termed a rest life. This happens very often in the spirit world. It's like a vacation. This was in a home with two toddlers who adored him. He said it was like a vacation resort for toddlers. Buffy said the angel sent him there to learn how to be playful and happy again. According to Buffy, this would be a short life, and then he would come back to live with his person again. So animals see things very differently. Let's talk for a minute, how do you know when it's time to put an animal down? Always ask the animal if it is ready. It's very important to be clear about whether an animal needs to be put down or if its behavior is indicative of something else. Many people call me to see if their animal is ready to go, and I always ask the animal because they will tell you. They don't have any animals remember their past lives, and they go from life to life as easily as we breathe. Consider this consultation I had. A woman from New England called me to verify if her dog Master should be put down. Well, Master was a German Shepherd, and he had stopped eating and drinking for 5 days, and he was so weak and dehydrated that he was no longer able to stand up for any length of time. I contacted Master, and the first impression that came through was that his light or his life energy was still bright, indicating that he was not ready to depart. He wasn't dying. Along with the initial communication, he said to me, "The water's no good." I related this to the woman. I told her that your dog's not ready to die and that he claims that the water had something wrong with it. I asked her what kind of water she had, city or well water. She said, "I have well water." I asked the dog if he would drink something other than water, and he said he would. So I asked her if she had any canned broth in the house, and would she open a can and offer it to him, which she did. The dog quickly drank the whole can of broth. I asked her to go to the market and buy some bottled water and offer it to him, and then call me back. She did. She gave him 2 gallons of bottled water, which she said Master drank and drank and drank until it was all gone. I recommended that she have her well tested, her well water tested. As it turned out, she did, and the well water sample contained E. coli, which is a dangerous bacterium which causes cholera. It lives in the intestines under normal circumstances, but in very small amounts. But the water was contaminated badly with it. So Master was actually trying to tell her this by his behavior and body language, that the water was contaminated and she shouldn't drink it. So he just stopped eating and drinking altogether. She was not aware of it, nor did she become sick, because she had other beverages to drink, including milk, soda, juice, soup, other liquids that are boiled, and other kinds of refreshments. Master only had the water to drink, and he became immediately aware that it didn't taste right and that he felt funny after drinking it. Many times animals try to protect us for something that will hurt us. And so if your animal appears lethargic, is not eating, it's really wise to contact an animal communicator and find out if he's really dying or if there's something else going on. Let me tell you a little bit about life energy. I just mentioned that when I looked at Master with inner vision, I saw him, but his energy field around his body was very bright. When you communicate with an animal, you see the animal with inner vision, meaning across the screen of your consciousness. You also see what I call the life energy in the form of a light radiating from the animal. I classify this light on a scale from 1 to 10. With 10 being the bright life energy that you would see with in a puppy or a kitten. I compare it with a light that is on a dimmer switch. When the dimmer switch is on full, the animal has a full life ahead of him, so that would be a number 10. As the animal ages, his light begins to dim, his aura begins to dim. On my scale, a light value of 5 means that the animal is in good health and is about halfway through his lifespan. For dogs, about 6 to 7 years old, for cats about 7 to 8 years old. If an animal appears as a 2 on the life energy scale, he is either very old or very sick. It becomes time to inquire about his chronological age and also about his health. When the animal's life energy reaches a 1 on the scale, I can barely make contact with him as he is fading out of his physical body. This is the time when I ask the animal if he's ready to be put down. And the answer will always be yes. Of course, you want to consult your veterinarian and before this time and ask them, you know, make sure that he is not suffering in some other way. And even if he's terminal, you want to do that, and then you want to see if he's ready. Saying goodbye. One of the hardest decisions is when you release your pet from suffering and put him down. Animals will telepathically send messages to you when their time is near. Also, the animal's person will begin to feel the beginnings of a detachment between themselves and their pet. It's like they no longer feel real close. And it's not because of the person, it's because their pet is withdrawing their attachment. The person will then go to extreme measures and heroic attempts to extend the life of their pet. It has been my experience that the person always knows when it is time to let their pet go. People say goodbye in many ways. Some people will have a family get-together to say goodbye. Others will cook a special dinner for the animal with all the corresponding treats. That's usually what I do. Often the person will wait until moments before the animal receives the lethal injection and just say, goodbye, I love you. From the animal's perspective, the cycle of birth, life, and death is a natural experience and should be treated as just that. The animal usually wants to tell his person how he feels and express their gratitude and affection before departing. For example, common farewells go something like this. Thank you for taking me in and giving me a good home. I'm grateful for all that you did in caring for me. I had a good time, and I appreciate all the love you gave me. I love you too, and will never forget you. It really makes no difference whether the animal is about to die or if he's being turned over to a shelter for adoption. Attachment and loss in any form is the same. If an animal is dropped off at a shelter and the owner does not relate to the animal his reasons for giving him up, the animal will often feel rejected, wondering what he did wrong to cause this person to reject him. Sometimes people have to go to nursing homes and they have to give their animals up. All animals in shelters are not necessarily abused. By simply talking to the animal in words, and they can hear us, even though you haven't learned to hear them, but they can hear you. Just tell them in words the reason that they're being placed up for adoption, and that will save the animal's feelings of guilt, shame, abandonment, and self-doubt. These feelings will carry over into any future relationship. A little simple kindness at the time of separation will help the animal to avoid separation pain. Animals really only want to say goodbye. They don't have neurotic attachments like humans do. For example, if there are horses that are sharing a barn with other horses and they're being separated and the horse is being transported to, say, a new shelter arrangement or being sold, they want to say goodbye to their friends. They make friends, and they will, when I contact them telepathically, they'll say, I never got a chance to say goodbye. So I ask them to show me their friends. And then I say, okay, I am connected with your friends. And because telepathically he can see what I see, then he can say, goodbye, I had a good time. And then he will release that, and he will make new friends in his new stall. Talk for a minute about grieving. Separation is one of the most painful experiences in life. Emotionally, separating from someone or something very dear to you is as bad as an experience as life presents. Sometimes the loss of a pet can leave a painful hole in your heart that feels like the size of the Grand Canyon. It's certainly true when I lose a pet. Inconsolable sorrow can often have a positive effect on spiritual growth. The pain that won't go away can turn into a quest for answers on a spiritual level. For example, in my case, the pain of losing my cat Frosty was more than I could bear. His death followed the death of my husband by only 3 months. The only way I could deal with the loss, even on a temporary basis, was to promise myself that somehow I would find a way to reconnect with them while I was still in the physical dimension. My search for this led to the discovery of animal telepathic communication, and that's how I pursued learning how to do it, and this is a learned phenomenon. Let me tell you a little bit about leaving the body and the transition. I've spoken to hundreds of animals in the afterlife. I asked them how to describe how they made the transition from the physical dimension to the spiritual one. About 90% of animals respond by describing the appearance of a white figure with wings that enters the room just prior to death, and they show me this so I can see it too. Animals say that they're angels, and as I connect with them, I confirm that what they are saying is accurate. The white angel, which looks transparent, in other words, you can see right through them, with a light shining through it, is very much like the sun rays piercing through clouds. It always has a large white wings. Some are male, some are female, I think. I really can't tell the difference, except that some angels have very long white flowing hair that actually gets caught up and tangled in their wings. The angel picks up the animal's ethereal or spirit body, which looks like an apparition. In other words, you can see through it, and it carries it into the afterlife. Sometimes the pet is welcomed in the afterlife by family members or other animals that they knew during their incarnation. Almost always, there is somebody waiting for your animal. They go to the same place in the afterlife that humans go. There's always, as I try to connect with someone's animal in the afterlife for the client, I ask them to show me where they are, and they always show me a person that is with them that greeted them. And I don't know who these people are. I just describe what they look like, and the client always knows who I'm talking about. Sometimes they will identify them as grandma or grandpa or aunt Betty or somebody. I don't know these people, but the person always knows. Talk a little bit about what the afterlife is like. Animals in spirit form, show me where they are in the afterworld and what other beings are present. About 90% go to a place that looks like a really clean and well-tended park area. It's like almost like a golf course, but it is a park. There, dogs are playing about with children, chasing after frisbees. There's a lot of children that play with animals that cross over. They play with balls and sticks, and there are also a lot of children on swings. For cats, there's always a large fish pond, about 20 feet wide, and stocked with giant goldfish. The pond looks like it's shallow, about maybe 1 foot deep, and the cats put their paws in the water to play with the fish, but they don't kill them. I don't know why the remaining 10% of animals who cross over do not show me the angel accompanying them there. It may have to do something with their particular person's belief system. For example, if their person doesn't believe in reincarnation or in angels, the animal will not answer my question when I ask. Animals tell me that they never say anything that will be in conflict with the person's personal belief system. Animals know at what level their persons are in terms of spiritual growth and will not go beyond these boundaries. So if someone calls me and I ask the animal if they intend to reincarnate, the animal will say to me, "My mommy doesn't believe in that." So then I won't relate that to the person. Some animals go to a place where it appears to be only clouds. They're literally walking on clouds and air. Once I saw beings that had a bright light radiating from them. Angels with wings surrounded the dog. I asked the dog who these light beings were. He says, "Those are angels too. You only see angels with wings, but angels have other forms too. They look like the light beings that were in the movie where they get taken up to these old people get taken up to a ship, and I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, they get taken to a place that they never die. Anyway, it looked like those beings. These beings were very graceful in their movement. And they reminded me, actually, of the ballet Swan Lake. On another occasion, I had a consultation with a white Persian cat who was in the afterlife. She was also in the clouds and was surrounded by other white Persian cats that had light shining through them. The kitty was very busy, and I asked her what she was doing. She said, "I'm making a place for my mommy when it's her turn to cross over." It looked like she was making some sort of chair out of cloud material. Later, I discovered that her person loved Persians, and in her retirement started breeding Persians as a hobby and for extra income. She always had a lot of white Persians in her home. One particular consultation with an animal in the afterlife involved a dog in the baby realm of animals, and this is truly a darling story. Sugar, who belongs to a very good friend of mine, was a blonde cocker spaniel who was very small for her breed, measuring only about 16 to 18 inches long and standing only about 10 inches high, and she weighed only about 13 pounds when my friend got her. And she filled out a little bit more later to about maybe 18 pounds, which is really small for a Cocker Spaniel. Her person, Gary, called me to contact Sugar in the spirit form. She was a petite, charming little girl with the grace and poise of a princess. She had succumbed to cancer, and Gary wanted to know if he had left any stones unturned at trying to save her. He really was brokenhearted about her, and he blamed himself and said, "Is there anything I could have done to save her?" And I asked Sugar about this, and she said, "No, it was just my time to go." I asked her to show me how she entered the afterlife, and this was quite different than other animals have shown me. A baby angel, a cherub, picked me up, and we flew into this park. I saw the cherub as she held her arms out around Sugar, and she carried her off. I asked me to show her where she was now. She showed me a scene in a park, and she was surrounded by infants and toddlers, as if she was reading them a story or reciting a poem. These are all human babies. Why are you there, I asked. The cherub put me here because these babies and toddlers never had a pet. I am here to teach them the loving bond between babies and animals. Babies and animals have always been able to communicate with each other. These babies died before they had that chance. It was one of the sweetest things I have ever had the privilege to witness. Many times angels incarnate as animals in order to help a particular person during a very hard time in their life. Angels do not incarnate as humans, but they do as animals. These animals usually don't live very long lives, and they're called back when they're finished with their missions. For example, a colleague of mine, another doctor, owned two white poodles. One of them, named Bo, died suddenly of a heart attack at age 4. The doctor called me because his wife was so upset that he thought talking to me might help. While we were on the phone, one of his toddler nieces came over and looked at the poodle's body lying on a pillow. She pulled on her uncle's arm, and she said she saw Bo up in the air and that he had wings. I contacted Bo, and he explained that there was an angel who incarnated into Bo's body for a short time to help the family get adjusted to their new home. The family consisted of the wife, her 4 teenage children, and the husband who had never become a father. Quite an adjustment, I thought. Bo told me that the angels do not have to go into a deep sleep to regenerate their life energy like other animals do in the afterlife, because new life energy is always flowing through angels from the universe, because they never disconnected from the source or the white light. So they can be ready in an instant to help whoever is needed. We're going to have to take a break here for a moment. This program is sponsored by Garnet Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. If your church or organization is looking for a fundraising project, why not have your members get together and contribute their favorite recipes and publish your organization's own cookbook? Not only churches, but also the Boy Scouts, other organizations where people who care for each other get together. Our church did it, and I can tell you it was really fun. Some ladies wrote a paragraph about how long the recipe was in their family and about special days that the dish was served as a tradition. You can visit their website at www.garnetpublishing.com. That's Garnet with 2 T's. Or you can call them at area code 216-458-6100. I'd like to tell you just a little bit more this evening, and then we'll take calls. The energizing and deep sleep. When animals pass away, they will spend about 2 weeks in our time in the afterlife getting used to existing in an etheric body and learning how to move about in the afterlife as they go into a deep sleep. The sleep can, they kind of hang around your house for about a week or two just so that you know they still exist but in another dimension. And the afterlife dimension is not out where, out in space somewhere. It's really right here. We occupy the same space, but it's a different dimension. After they do that, they go into a deep sleep for several weeks, months, or even years. During this time, they undergo a regeneration process, which involves the restoration of life energy. You can kind of think of it as recharging your batteries. During this time, it is very hard to communicate with them, but not impossible. After an animal has been recharged with life energy, its form will change. It appears once again as almost solid, that is, it's in its physical form. When they first go into the afterlife, they look to me like apparitions. You can see them, see right through them. After they've been regenerated, they look almost solid again. At that time, the animal is permitted to choose what he would like to do for his next life. They may want to stay in the spirit world to work with several animal councils that exist there. The council's purpose is to find ways to enlighten humans and also other animals about their species so that it doesn't become extinct. Across some animals, the afterlife offers a number of schools that they can attend and learn more about diverse forms of life. For example, if they want to come back into the physical dimension, they look around for a new body to enter. They can go to a school there, if say it's your dog, they can go to a school there to learn what it would be like to be a bird and fly around, or what it would be like to be a horse or any other creature. From the perspective of the animal in the afterlife, the world looks like a great smorgasbord. They can have any life experience they choose. Even if they want to come back as a flower, they can have whatever they want. Mostly, they come back to you. Picking a new body is solely their decision. Animals tell me that humans are afforded the same options by all that is, which they refer to as the Creator. They are permitted any life experience they desire. So this is a big schoolhouse, and we can have any experience that we would like. So if we want to come back and be a tree, we can. If we want to be a animal, we can. If we want to be a flower, we can. I've talked to flowers that were once very hardcore businessmen, and they really wanted a life where they could rest, relax, and just feel the sunshine on their face and raindrops on their petals. And they just wanted to kind of just blow in the breeze. They didn't want any responsibility. They wanted to be nourished by the earth, and that's it. So there are many choices for animals. How are we doing for time? Okay, I'm going to continue this next week, but for now, let's have some callers see if they're going, if they would have any questions. So please call in. The number is 888-268-4313. That's 1-888-268-4313. We'd love to hear some feedback from you, so call in. And while we're doing that, I'd like to tell you about my friend Atira Hatton, who is on BBS Radio on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern or 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And her show is called Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. Her name is Atira Hatton. Atira is a gifted psychic who can tune into your heart's mission in this life. Atira is associated with Edgar Casey's group at the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, and she is a frequent speaker there. If you want to visit her, you can contact her through the Angel Scribe website. It is www.angelscribe.com. That's one word, ANGELSCRIBE.com. So call in for a question if you have a question. And while we're waiting, I will talk a little bit about reincarnation. Animals go from life to life as easily as we breathe. But unlike humans, they remember their past lives. They are consciously aware of their immortality. I've asked many animals why humans don't remember their own past lives. That's an interesting question. How come you remember and I don't? And this is their answer. humans choose not to remember their past lives because it increases the intensity of the adventure of the new life that they're about to begin. So we elect not to, because it's more exciting and the surprise element is more intense. When an animal reincarnates, it is the same soul or spirit, but it's in a different body. Most of the personality and characteristics will remain. There are some differences because the genetic makeup is a little different, even if it's the same breed. If the breed or species is dramatically different, then genetics plays an even more important role in the new personality. Reincarnated animals remain in their homes. We have a caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I can barely hear her.
Oh.
Dawn, can you turn up some volume because I can't hear Agnes?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
That's a little bit better. Hey, Agnes, it's Mary Ellen. I wanted to ask if you had mentioned about Miss Wings and how she came back to me. You had predicted I'd be getting a silver Persian kitten.
Yes. In fact, I'm going to tell that story in about a half a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
Her story is wonderful, and it's really worth listening to. It's adorable. Is it okay, Mary Ellen, with you if I tell her story?
I'd love for you to tell the story. It's so amazing because somebody just emailed me about your show last week and the horses and the tornado, and all of a sudden I went, oh, my gosh, Agnes is on the air. So it was like a divine call to call in at this time.
Oh, it was. Well, thank you for calling. Do you want to hang on, or do you want me to...
Oh, sure, I'd like to hang on and help you with the story.
Okay. Well, animals, when they reincarnate, they remember their homes. Cats will remember where their litter box is, and they also go back to their favorite places to hide or sleep. They remember the other animals in the house, and the other animals recognize them as well. Some memories return a little more slowly because the soul has entered a baby body once more, especially for dogs. Some behaviors have to be retrained, like potty training for dogs. Okay, when animals decide to return, they're appointed to their person. And I asked many animals who does the appointing, and they will not give me an answer. So I don't know if it's angels, God, or keeper of souls, or something else. They're just not permitted to say.
Hey, Agnes, do you think it might be the intention of the person who wants the animal to come back, too?
I'm sorry?
Do you think it might be the intention of the pet owner or guardian who wants the animal?
You know, it really works two ways. What I have found in my experience is that people have this longing for their pet even long after they're gone. And it's not because they're not letting go of the pet, but it's because the pet's not letting go of them. They're hanging on so they can find them more easily when they come back. And they will come to them in a dream and tell them that they're back, and then I can find them. Let me tell you about Miss Wing's story. And Mary Ellen, you tell me if I'm doing it right.
Okay.
I was invited by Mary Ellen Angel Scribe and Maureen McCullough to be a guest on their show, Angel Waves. It was out of WSAI in Cincinnati. A few months later, Mary Ellen called me and asked about her cat Camelot, who was in the spirit world. Camelot was happy and very anxious to talk to her. She said, "Tell Mommy I am fine. I have been renewed with life energy, and I want to come back as a kitten and live with you some more." Camelot showed me an image of the body that he would be incarnated into, a silver-shaded Persian female. He said he would be born sometime in December and would be ready to come home in late January, February. I don't remember the date exactly he was born, Mary Ellen. Do you remember?
December. Miss Wings was born on December 8th, but what was really funny is shaded silver Persians are so hard to find.
Yes.
After I talked to you, I searched the internet. My husband looked in the newspaper for Eugene in Portland. A friend looked in Tacoma. Another looked in Seattle. We were on the search for this kitten. They were so hard to find. But you had also said that when a spirit is meant to come through to you, it basically leap tall buildings to find you.
Right. The universe goes to great extent to reunite you with your animal. When I contacted Camelot, she said, or he said, "Don't worry, Mommy, I've been assigned to you, and nothing can stop that once it's predestined. You don't need any money, only faith that I would be yours," because, as we know, silver Persians are also very expensive.
$400 and up.
I'm sorry?
They're $400 and up.
They're $300 and up.
Or $400. Oh, here.
How much?
$400.
Yeah, that's what they are now. Once an animal is pointed to you, nothing can touch them or stand in their way. She started combing the local animal shelters and went through the newspapers, just like she described. Tell us, Mary Ellen, how you came upon Linda.
What was funny is it was getting close to December, and I really wanted to manifest this shaded silver Persian, because after Camelot had died, I was in grief for about 12 years and didn't get any cats because I just missed them. I didn't want to go through the pain of the death. And I'd like to say to your readers, all I did was deprive myself of the love of a pet for 12 years. And what happened was I went on the Internet and I searched, and all the shaded silver Persians were starting to get those really ugly, mushed, unhealthy faces. And I must have looked at 30 different websites and about 150 ugly kittens. And then I thought, what would I be if I was a shaded silver Persian breeder? And I just typed in www.silverpersians.com, and up came Linda's website in Boston. Now, I live in Oregon, and Boston's right across the country. And she ships her kit. She will not ship her kittens, so I knew that let me out. And also, from the price of her kittens, I knew I wouldn't be getting one. But what ended up happening was exactly what you said. Miss Wings was born on December 8th to a mother who had two litters of kittens previously, and they had all been born dead. So when Miss Wings' brothers came out dead, the breeder thought, well, here's another dead litter. And Miss Wings presented Breach, and she grabbed the tail and pulled. And somehow it broke off the tail, but Miss Wings came out alive. So it was a miracle. And that mother cat has had, like, I think, seven litters of kittens since. She's been spayed now, but all are dead. Miss Wings is the sole survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously meant to come to me. And a few weeks later, Linda was taking some of her other silver kittens to a photo studio to be photographed. And when the clerk came out with little angel wings for her kittens, she started to think, I wonder if that sweet little kitten without a tail might belong to Mary Ellen Angel Scribe. And she put it off for a while, didn't call me, and then for Christmas, my daughter gave me a T-shirt that said, "Dear Santa, please bring me a kitten." Well, I cried, Agnes, because I wanted a kitten so bad, and I got a stupid T-shirt. 3 days later, the phone rang, and it was Linda offering me for free Miss Wings. Now, I was going to taking some college classes, and I couldn't fly back there at the time, and I couldn't have. Luckily, we had got rid of the $400 fee for the kitten, so I asked on my newsletters if anybody would be interested in flying the kitten across country, and four people offered, and Vivian Roseanne in, I can't remember exactly where she's from, but she was a flight attendant, and she bought a ticket, and she flew on a different airline, and she paid $400 to buy her tickets, and flew up to Boston, picked up Miss Wings, flew into San Francisco, and into Eugene Airport. And you are so right. The minute I looked in Miss Wing's face, it was like my heart healed.
Yeah.
It just filled that gap.
That's such a miracle story. There was angels all throughout it. Vivian was an angel to get her. Miss Wings was an angel with her little wings, and the universe got her to you even without a tail. And the whole thing was just incredible stories. That she was accompanied by an angel on the airplane. So there was like three angels on the airplane, Miss Wings, the angel from heaven, and Vivian.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting is when Miss Wings had kittens a year and a half later, the three kittens was looking at three different strangers. But the minute I saw Miss Wings, I knew that that was Camelot. You could just tell the energy.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in your mind when you see them. You recognize their energy. Other animals in the family recognize them, and it's the same soul. It's just a different body. In this case, it was a different sex, too.
Yes. And she had surmounted what is it, 3,000 or 4,000 miles to cross the United States. I didn't have to pay the fee for her or the flight for her. She was literally, honest to God, delivered to me on the wings of angels.
Yes. Yes, Mary Ellen, can you tell us your website and what you do?
I sent out a free newsletter on miracles, and I've sent out several stories about you, Agnes, because miracles are always falling around you. And the website, Angel Scribe, ANGELSCRIBE.com. And I've been doing it for 10 years now, and miracles happen to me all the time. And I include pictures of my shaded silver Persians because, you know, miracles happen to them. Well, just the other day, Agnes, one of my cats had a little crusty breakouts on its skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read in a book about yellow dock, how that would help animals
heal
their skin.
Could you repeat that or spell it?
Yellow dock.
Okay.
Y-E-L-L and then D-O-C-K. He had little crusts on his skin and his fur was falling out. And I didn't know what was causing it, but I also knew that he had some swollen lymphs. So that meant his blood or his liver wasn't very clean. And when we looked up in the herb book for pets, it said that yellow dock was good for the skin and cleaning the blood and the liver. So I made up a little concoction and took a cotton ball and rubbed it on his sore spots. And the next day, Agnes, everything started to heal up. But what was amazing is when I went into my cupboard to look for the yellow dock tea, I didn't have my glasses on. I'm staring. I'm looking for it. And Mr. E came up behind me, and he bumped a box, and I looked down, and he literally had nosed the box of yellow dock tea.
He knocked it out of the cabinet?
Yes. I have, like, two long rows of teas, and he walked up behind me and just bumped the box. So it's like he knew. The other thing I'd like for your readers to know is that you were the one who talked to Mr. E to get his name.
Yes. He wanted to be called Mystery. Something with Mystery. So she named him Mr. E.
Yeah, because his mother is Miss Wings, so we wanted him to be a mister, but we couldn't think of anything. And you talked to him, and he said, I want to be a Mystery. And I'm like, what is a Mystery? Then you said, no, Mr. E, like Mr. T on, you know, the old TV show, but with a E.
Yeah, I always ask my pets when they come back. I have 4 cats out of my 7 that live with me for many years, died and reincarnated. And I always ask them what they want their names to be because they choose better names than I can choose.
It honors the spirit of the animal, too.
Yes, that is exactly right. So we're almost out of time.
Well, I'll hang up and let you say goodbye to everybody, but I just had to tell you about my kitty.
Yes. Thank you, Mary Ellen, for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, Agnes.
Bye. Next week, we will continue our talk on animals in the afterlife. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how they see us from the spirit world, how they interact with us all the time, and what our world looks like to them. I want you to thank you for listening tonight, and I want to thank Mary Ellen, who contributed to the show. If there's a particular topic that you would like to hear about animals, please contact me at talktopets@aol.com. If you like the show, you can contact the producers at www.bbsradio.com and let them know that you appreciate this kind of programming and you'd like to hear more of it. This is Dr. Agnes Thomas saying good night. Thank you for caring for animals.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.